Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
I hope the doctor is still willing to come on after that terrible doctor joke we told just a minute ago. Dr. Copen, are you there?
I am. I missed the joke. I was busy talking to producer Pete.
The joke goes, hold on, I'll read it to you. Maybe I shouldn't at all. Maybe you can comment on the sort of, authenticity of this. I was on a first date with this girl. We were at her apartment, and she said, "Let's play doctor." I said, "Yeah, let's play doctor." So she put me on a gurney and left me in the hall for 4 hours. I think that joke was probably birthed in mid-pandemic, maybe sometime late in 2020, you know.
Okay, let's talk about COVID, Mr. Williams, huh?
Well, I'm sorry about that. But I thought that was a COVID joke because for a time, that's what some of the hospitals were having to deal with, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we were all busy. Thankfully, here in the Chicago area and in Illinois, we were all able to handle the volume of patients that we had. Unlike some places where I remember the horrible situation in New York City, for example, back in the beginning of the pandemic, but we were spared that here. And I think it says a lot about the medical community that we have in our area, that we were able to handle a brand new disease that came on so quickly with such high volume, which with people who are so ill, and to be able to do it as well as we were able to do really throughout the whole state, and particularly in the Chicago area.
Do you think that has something to do with the governor and the mayors and the National Guard, whoever locally was managing at the time?
No, I actually think that we were really blessed that in the Chicago area in particular, we have an amazing concentration of just superb healthcare.
Yeah.
Our hospitals are excellent throughout the Chicago metropolitan area and really throughout the state. We have a real concentration of academic medical centers, John, within the city of Chicago out into the suburbs. And that really influences the quality of care that we're able to provide in the entire community. And I believe that we were able to prove that in an emergent way during the beginning of the pandemic and really right through the last 2 years. We should feel very good about the quality of healthcare that we have available throughout our area. And that's something that we should all be very proud of.
And not to take for granted. I think you're right. You obviously are at Northwestern. You are at the Lake Forest Hospital. But if it's not Northwestern, the University of Chicago, the list goes on of just world-class medical centers. And sometimes they're right next to each other. It's really our good fortune. So maybe we should use this, if nothing else, as a reminder of that, huh?
Yeah, I think so, Jen. And it's always worth taking stock of the things that we have that are just so good. And the quality of the healthcare available to our entire population is one of those things. And, let's not take it for granted and realize it takes a lot of care, special care and handling to see to it that we continue to have such good health care in the area.
Our number is 312-981-7200 if you have a question or comment. I've got a lot of them from last week we didn't get to, and I'll just throw one at you here now. We'll pause and then continue this conversation if you don't mind. But one of the questions is, once again, about that fourth shot. John, please ask Dr. Jeff if the COVID vaccine has been reformulated for the fourth shot. I think you answered that in a way last week. It's really the same shot, just a smaller dose, isn't it?
Correct. The booster dose of the mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna, is a half of the dose that the first two injections were, and it's the same formulation. So that is right. We do not yet have vaccines that are directed against the newer variant.
Right.
These vaccines go back to the original Alpha.
And they're still efficacious, though, right?
Yeah, they are. They are. They're efficacious in keeping the vaccinated person from getting very ill, requiring hospitalizations, and definitely holds down the death rate. And that's what we want more than anything else from the vaccine.
And is that vaccine that we're getting now, say, is the fourth shot, the second booster? So that works for COVID-19, that works for Omicron, that works for Delta, the whole cocktail of them, huh?
Correct. It keeps us from getting ill from any of those. Now, right now, what we have is we have Omicron. We have two variants of Omicron that is around in the States here in the Chicago area. And the vaccines that we have right now are effective against both.
This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Relentless in the Pursuit of Better Healthcare, talking a little bit about the latest with COVID these days, which I guess includes this new XE variant. Is there anything you think we should know about that, doctor?
Yeah, it's amazing, John, how we're all becoming virologists, you know, experts in viruses. So this XE thing is called a recombinant type of virus. So two different strains of Omicron merged together to create this XE. And there's been multiple recombinant viruses that have been identified. These are nothing to worry about. It's something that naturally happens with viruses, how different viruses can merge together. And it's just something that's there. There's no evidence anywhere in the world that these things are concerning. They've just been identified out in the UK, in Britain. Got a bunch of publicity, but nobody should worry about this.
Does there seem to be a relationship between the how easily a virus will spread and how dangerous it is? The more easily spread, the less dangerous, but maybe the more deadly versions are less contagious?
Yeah, it's an interesting observation, isn't it, John, that if a virus or some kind of microbe is incredibly dangerous, that by getting infected with it, a person will die. What will happen with that virus? That virus won't be able to spread, will it? Because the infected person that gets sick so fast, the virus can't be spread by that infected person. So what a virus will do is it will mutate. It doesn't do this on purpose. It's just kind of a mathematical thing that happens.
Very interesting.
The virus, the virus will mutate to the point where it's like Omicron, highly infectious, right? We just lived through that. I mean, 2 months, it was incredible, right? The number of people who were infected with it, but not as serious an infection in the vast majority of people is Delta that we had back in the summer of 2021. The problem is, like what we experienced with Omicron, is so many people got infected with it. A number of people who got infected were at risk of going on to have bad complications. So these were the hospitalized people that we had, and unfortunately we lost some of those people. Though we had a pretty high death rate with Omicron simply because it was so highly infectious.
847 said, I got COVID a year and a half ago. Got vaccinated in a booster since, but still cannot taste or smell. How can I get them back?
Yeah, boy. I wish I could tell our listener what the secret was for that. You know, there are people, not a lot, but you know, there are enough that we hear from them that a year and a half later still haven't gotten back their taste and smell. It's just one of those crazy complications of COVID that we really don't understand yet. There's a lot of research going on looking at how this happens. We know that there's damage done to certain nerves. That's been shown. Trying to work out what the process is whereby that damage occurs. And then what we need to figure out is it possible to undo it? And if so, how to do that? The good news is the vast, vast majority of people who have lost their taste and smell, John, they have gotten those senses back. Mm. And although it's a year and a half and it's a really long time, and I certainly feel badly for our listener that he or she's still dealing with this. But there's still hope that those senses will come back. And if you've yet to go see an expert in this, an ENT physician, or go see one of the clinics that we have in Chicago that are comprehensive COVID clinics that have a lot of expertise in helping people with these long COVID symptoms like you're having with the lack of sense of taste and smell.
Give me a quick response to this, doctor, and then I'll let you go this week. I'm 60, said one of our listeners, and I'm not getting the fourth booster. It kicked my butt more times than my dad, said one of our listeners. You know, we talked last week about the lack of urgency with the fourth booster. Is it really that big a deal that I get the fourth booster now?
I think it depends on each individual. If somebody's 60 years old and healthy, there's no need to get the fourth booster. The second booster, the fourth injection. As we talked about last week, John, FDA, and then later in the day after we were on the air together, CDC came out, said they approve the second booster. It can be used, but there's no mandate to do it. So my strong recommendation to everybody is if you're over the age of 50, assess what your own health is, what your own risks might be, should you get a COVID infection. Mm-hmm. And if you're otherwise healthy, you're under the age of 65, and you choose not to get the fourth injection, the second booster, that's absolutely okay. If you're over the age of 65, though, particularly if you have diabetes or heart disease or you've dealt with cancer in the past or currently, folks like that should go ahead and get that second booster. So I strongly suggest to everybody, do a self-assessment. Does it make sense for me? And that's the best way to think about this.
As always, good, clear advice from Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest. Okay, doctor, let's do this again next week.
All right, looking forward to it, and everybody take good care. Bye-bye.